I was sorting out some books a couple of months back. You know, when we're sorting books in our work, a lot of people, you know, they leave markers in, or there's a bit of paper in there, and you just flick the book, or you see someone's note they've made, so, you know, they mark the book in some way. And as I opened a book one day, I found a bookmark, and took the liberty of keeping it. It's a bookmark. It's got a picture of Hudson Taylor on the front. It's published by OMF. Published by OMF. But I like the quotation. It comes from Hudson Taylor. This is why I kept it. He says, "There is a living God. He has spoken in the Bible. He means what he says, and will do all he has promised."
Amen.
He means what he says, and will do all he has promised. You know, that will stand us good in times of trouble, knowing that he means what he says, and will do all that he's promised. Now I want to read tonight from the book of Ephesians. Chapter 3. We've been looking at the theme, living large and strong in times of trouble. We've seen already that our number one priority is to find out what God has said. As we've already heard from Pastor Bill, has exhorted us and encouraged us. There are many voices that seek to be heard, particularly now as we are facing an election, we're going to the polls. Many people want their voice and their opinion heard, but it's not their opinion or their voice we need to hear, it's what is God saying. And that's our priority. Because God, as we just read from that book, God means what he says. And will do all that he's promised. So we need to find out what he said. I published a tract a few years back, and it was to coincide with a general election that the country was having. And I used words that the electorate always hear at that time, which was manifesto, or that was the main thing. I geared the track around God's manifesto for us. And then the bottom of the track was a picture of a cross, you know, a voter's cross, with the words, "Choose life, choose Jesus."
Amen.
You know, God has a manifesto. You know, we need to know what it is. We need to hear that voice. Which is why it's important we find out what God is saying. He that has ears, as we've heard, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But then secondly, we looked at the issue of fear. That we do not fear in troubled times. You know, fear will rob us of the things we need to see us through. You know, as I sort of ended this afternoon session, quoting that verse from 2 Timothy. You know, as I did share this sort of over tea. You know, as I was reading the verse this afternoon, the Spirit of the Lord just quickened something to me, which you'll know because I mentioned it. That fear will rob us of power. It will rob us of love. It will rob us of a sound mind. I've never seen that in the scroll, never read it that way before, until I read it in the service this afternoon. You know, as I read it, you know, the Spirit of God just quickened that to me. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Fear will take the power which we need to see us through. Fear robs us of our love. You know, actually, the scripture says that perfect love casts out all fear. And fear destroys the soundness of our mind. You know, we were sharing, Jenny and those that were in the room at the time, we just talked about, you know, when the mind, when the soundness of your mind goes, you know, the more we listen to fear and move in fear, it gets worse and worse. You know, we don't have the right capabilities then to make sound judgment, because we are listening to what the lie says rather than the truth. You know, fear is, as we touched on, believing the lie. But tonight I want to go to Ephesians 3. So I just want to touch on something, and I apologize to those of our own fellowship, because this will overlap a little bit with some of the things we've been studying on in our series of teaching on love. But it's good that we hear it again. And God willing, you'll hear it again tomorrow. Because I know it's crossing over with last week and tomorrow night's study. But we go to Ephesians 3. Let's start off reading at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This passage of scripture we've read starts off "for this reason," which ties it to the few verses previously. You know, in those few verses, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he says that, you know, God wants to make known some things. He wants to reveal certain things to us. He wants to show us His manifold wisdom. You know, He wants us to have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. You know, Paul, as we've already seen over the last two sessions, was a man who was accustomed to trouble and trials. Beaten, shipwrecked, you know, hunted. You know, people plotted against his life. He was accustomed to trouble. You know, so we can listen to what he has to say, because there's good advice here for standing strong in troubled times. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. But then he goes on and he says that you, being rooted and grounded in love. You know, love, as we've been seeing in our own fellowship in our Bible says, love is the most excellent way. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. He says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, verse 1, which, as I'm sure we'll appreciate, when he wrote those words, he didn't write it in chapters and verses. He just continued straight on. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, on the trumpet sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Without love, we are really nothing. We can make all the right noises, we can say all the right things, but without love, it profits us nothing. We can be good with our confessions, but without love, it won't profit anything. We can read the scriptures day in, day out. We can know it cover to cover, but without love, it will profit us nothing. We can know how to appropriate our faith, but without love, really doesn't profit us at all. Keep your finger in Ephesians, so let's just turn to that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. Look what he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now we like the word of prophecy. You know, chapter 14, Paul goes on and says, look, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that of prophecy. So it's something that we should be keen to move in. He says we can have the gift of prophecy. He says we can understand all mysteries and all knowledge. We can have wisdom and all these other revelatory gifts in operation. We can have faith, mountain-moving faith. That's what we need in times of trouble, mountain-moving faith. But he says, if we haven't got love, we're nothing. You can give all your goods to feed the poor and give your own body to be burned. But without love, it profits nothing. You know, as we've gone through that chapter, and we're going through that chapter, looking at love as the most excellent way of living. Here, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he said, being rooted and grounded in love. Now we said last night about being grounded. It's being fixed and established. You know, we said of ground that it's something stable that we can build on. We can walk on. And we're looking at the grounding of God's word. But here we're told to be grounded in love. You know, build on love. You know, a tree or any plant sends down its roots into the earth. You know, in any well-rooted tree or plant is difficult to move. Yeah, it's not impossible, but it's difficult. You know, we live in a row of houses, and outside, at the front of our houses, there's a row of trees. Now, these are sycamore trees. And they go through a stage in certain part of the year where these things are shedding their seeds like anything. You know, and every spring I go through the garden and start pulling up the little plants that have come up. And you miss one, it only takes a few weeks, and that thing's difficult to move. In actual fact, I saw one in the garden, which I've missed today. I thought, oh no, look at this, I saw it about this big. I thought, that's going to be a job to get that out. Because they send down their roots so deep, they're grounded and they're tough to move. You know, that's something we need in times of trouble. We need to have good roots. Rooted and grounded in love. So that, he says, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Now that word comprehend there does have a little bit like this, but it doesn't necessarily mean to understand. It means to lay hold of, to grasp. Yeah, we grasp something when we understand, but that's where it really, if we got to lay hold or grasp hold of the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of love. So he goes on and says, and to know. Now knowing isn't a head knowing. It's experiential knowing. Something that we know inside. Because we've walked the path. We've been there. To coin a well-known phrase, no, we've got the t-shirt. I've been to Paris. Have you seen them? And all I brought back was this t-shirt. That's what it says, something like that. Or I've been wherever you've been. We used this, when I was growing up, we used to have these t-shirts quite a few times. Malta on it, or Mallorca. Or the place where we get another one's got London on it and a big red bus stuck on the front of it. You've been to the place. You know, God wants us to be in that place where we lay hold of and we grasp the reality of his love. Or the reality of love. And we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Moving on to verse 20. The scripture here says this. Isn't a very often quoted scripture? Often prayed. Often preached. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Most people stop the quotation there. We pray, or we encourage people. Well, that's okay, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask. And that's right, he is. But that's not the end of the verse. It's not the end of the quote. It says it's according to the power that works in us. In accordance to the power that's at work in us. And that power that the apostle's talking about is the power of love.
Amen.
God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of him, according to the degree or the level of love that we are living in. If we're got no love, it's going to be very hard for God to manifest to us things that we need. Because love, without it, we said we're nothing. It profits us nothing. We can have all faith, but it won't do anything for us. We need to be living in love. Love is the most excellent way. That's what we've been looking at in our studies. Love being the most excellent way. You know, in times of trouble, As we've seen, we can get fearful. We can start expecting the worst to happen. We can look at the surroundings, the circumstances, get our eyes diverted, our focus diverted from what we are believing in. We must make sure that our love level stays where it ought to be. You know, we can stand strong on the Word of God, but if we start snapping and griping at one another, and, well, if it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't be in this mess. And we've got to keep love where it should be. That's why we need to be rooted and grounded in love. If Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, we being rooted and grounded in love, that we might be able to comprehend or seize or lay hold of with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes us, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Then Paul goes now to him that is able to do. I thank God that God is able to do. You know, that's... nobody would argue with that. God is able to do. Some might say, well, I believe he's able to do, but I'm not so sure about the exceedingly abundantly above bit, but that's what the scripture says. Then others will say, yeah, well, I believe God is able, and yeah, I embrace all the exceedingly abundantly above, but not quite sure about his willingness. But it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, in accordance with the power that's working in us. The power of love. You know, love in 1 John 4 says, love has been perfected among us in this. This is verse 1 John 4 verse 17. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And it goes on, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. We touched on that this afternoon, that he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That love has been perfected amongst us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. The one thing that will see us through, so we can live large and strong in times of troubles, is having, we started off with this on Sunday night. Sunday night. But confidence in God, that confident expectation, that hope that we have as an anchor of the soul. We have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in times of trials. Because we know that as he is, so are we. In this world. A lot of people are looking for that being like God or being like Jesus in that world. You know, the future. You know, the sweet by and by, when we get to heaven. Yes, we will be like him, but God wants us, it says it, we are like him now in this world. That can make us live large. Knowing that, that gives us confidence. You know this, just into the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Where does that confidence come from? Love. Perfected love. This is the confidence that we have in him. So when we get into times of trouble, we can have confidence in him. We can ask anything according to his will, and we know that he's going to hear us. And then we know, we have this confidence that we know that if he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have. Now God cannot deny his children. Particularly blood-washed children. You know, Jesus went to the cross. Jesus paid the price. You know, that covenant was made. Covenant made in blood. Unbreakable. You know, God, as we close with last night, you know, is bound, duty bound. His integrity is at stake. If he doesn't keep that covenant, then he's a God that's not worth serving. God has to keep that covenant. He's made covenant with Abraham so that the blessing could come upon the Gentiles. You know, the blessing will see us through in times of trouble. The blessing will see us through. You know, Christ has redeemed us, it says, from the curse of the law, so that the blessing might come upon the Gentiles. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That we will receive what the Holy Spirit's promised us, what God has promised us through his word. Living large, living strong. Find out what God's word says. Believe what God says. God means what he says, so you can believe it. He's promised to do all that he said he will do. Don't fear. Don't get off into... it might get a bit shaky. But don't get into that point where you... fearing and expecting the worst. But don't get to the point of giving up and quitting. Stand strong. Check your love level. Love is perfected in you. So that will give you boldness to approach the Father on the basis of the covenant. So then you can say, you find out what God says, then you can go to God, you know, like Abraham did. No, sorry, Moses. God said he was going to do something. But Moses went to God and says, God, you can't do it. Would we talk to God like that? Oh. Would we dare talk to God like that? God, you can't do that. Well, Moses did. God was going to destroy his people. He says, you can't do it. You're duty bound. You've made a covenant. You've made a promise. That gives us great boldness. And in times of trouble, we know that we can go to Him. That's living large, isn't it? Living large. We can go to Him and, God, You said this. This is what You promised me. Now do it. Now honour Your word. Honour the covenant. Honour the shed blood of Jesus. What confidence that gives us. And really, that brings us right around full circle back to hope. You know, we have this hope as an anchor where we started yesterday evening. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Sure and steadfast. Which goes through the veil, it says. You're into the very presence of God. You know, we can go through the veil. We can meet with God. We don't need to go by a man, priest. You know, we've got confidence, we've got that position in Christ. That gives us confidence. You know, I'm a son, I can go to the Father. You know, my daughters don't need an appointment to come to me. She can wake me up at whatever time it is in the morning. And she does. Tell me there's an eight-legged insect crawling up her wall. And I've only been asleep about 10 minutes. Did you know, she woke me up and she just a couple of nights back, woke me up, tell me there's a spider on the bedroom wall. And I lay awake then for 3 hours. But she doesn't need that appointment to come to me. She can come with whatever the problem is. And she does. They both do. And we can go to God. Now the difference is, I was asleep. God isn't. Do we just have that boldness to come to the Father? You know, we saw it this afternoon. You know, the disciples have been listening to Jesus teach. They'd spent a day listening to Him teach on the principles of faith. You know, they didn't need to wake Him up from sleep in the evening to rebuke the storm. They could have done that if they had the confidence. I believe that's what it was. They just weren't confident enough. They'd never tried it. But unless we step out and dare to make a mistake, unless we start saying things and making us make ourselves look like we are foolish. How can we be so certain that God's going to do what He says? And I was looking back through an old article I wrote for a magazine, from our magazine, 2 or 3 years back. I just read through some of the old ones over this last few days. Because I was very conscious that I've not done a magazine for a year, just over a year. I want to get one done. But I was reading somebody's other, I read this story about two men working in a car factory producing cars. One was a Christian and one was not. Let's say that. And one man came to the Christian fellow and says, look, he says, we've got to work alongside each other. He says, I hope you're not going to tell me about God. And the Christian man said, well, I'll do my best. Because they're working on them. Anyway, he said, you're not one of these Christians that... He pulled the subject. You're not one of these Christians that believes all this healing stuff. And he goes, well, yes, actually I am. He says, you can't be serious. He says, how can you say that God wants to heal you today? How can you say God wants to do this and God wants to... The Christian didn't answer the question. Instead he asked the man a question. He said, look, he said, how do you know, what's the capacity, he says, of the fuel tank in this car that we're building? And this puzzled the other fellow, because he changed the question, changed the talk. He thought he'd want to talk about God, and now he's switching it to talking about cars. So he goes, well, he says, however many gallons or so it holds. He says, you sure? He goes, yeah. You really sure? He goes, absolutely. He says, how do you know? And the man says, well, he says, we've got a manual over here which tells us. He says, yeah, but it's got to be right. He says, because it's done by the manufacturer. They made it. The Christian says, and that's exactly how I know God wants to heal. God wants to bless. God wants to, just because I'm going by the manual. Find out what God says.
Yes.
I believe it. That gives us confidence. When we read what God, the manufacturer, has done. What he's promised us. Have you ever bought a product, a kitchen product, an appliance, or any other, a TV or something like that? Because if you have, you will know, generally speaking, they come with what they call the guarantee. Now, we had a guarantee on an oven, which had expired by 2 months. And when we moved from Mansfield to Wisbeach, we brought the oven with us. I'm making it sound like it's a combi convection oven microwave, so it's only that big. But we brought it with us, and because the kitchen wasn't quite how we wanted it, I didn't plug it in straight away. And it was about a week later, I thought, well, I've created a space in the kitchen, put the oven in, plugged it in, switched it on, nothing worked. I thought, well, it was one of these, you had to have the digital panel to operate the thing. You can't turn the dial, like some microwave ovens do, and you can still work it. Everything was programmable in. You have to type in the numbers and type which program you wanted, how many minutes you want. And this thing wouldn't work. I switched it off, switched it back on again. Off, on. In the end, I thought, we've got a guarantee. And that's when I found out it expired 2 months out of the day. I thought, well, it's got a number on there. I've got to get, I've got to go and buy a new one. I'll ring up to see how much they're going to charge me to fix it. So I rang Sharp, won't mention no names. And they said, Mr. Warren. He says, we've had a spate of those. He says, how long has it been unplugged? I says, just a week. He goes, yeah, he says, for some reason, we can't work out why this is, but if it's off for more than a few days, this thing's just failing. He says, tell you what we'll do. He says, when did you buy it? So I told him, give him the day. I said, but it's outside of the guarantee. No worries, he says. Just take it to our place, the electrician place in King's Lynn. He says, and we're instruct them to fix it. I took it in. I was still expecting to pay something for it. I know they said that they'd provide the power for nothing. So I thought there might be a little bit of labour to go on it. But I took it in, went back a couple of days later, brought the oven home. I said to the chap, how much? He says, oh no, he says, Sharp have covered it. You know, guarantee. Now that was an expired and that was in the natural. But we've got a guarantee here. And God will honour that guarantee. It will not expire. A brother I know very well, a preacher, I wrote down what he said. I heard him preaching one day and he said something along the lines of, God's promises have no expiry dates. God's promises have no expiry dates. There was something on the telly the other night, I don't know whether you saw it, that's going through, it's on quite frequently, it's an advertisement on the telly. They go through, start from a year, it's for a well-known supermarket chain, with an orange logo. We won't mention any names because we've got people that work for the opposition in our presence. So they go through a series of when they began. One thing is the introduction of sell-by dates is one of the captions on the screen and the year. I think early 1970s. The introduction of sell-by dates or expiry dates on food. Now, if you ask Jane, she'd tell her, I don't worry about anything like that. You know, a date's a day. You know, might as well say something. Anything could say anything, because if it looks all right, it's eatable, as far as I'm concerned. I've worked in supermarkets, I've worked with fruit and veg, and these things don't have sell-by dates on them. When they look like they've gone bad, you can throw them out. I haven't got time to tell you the confessions of a greengrocer. Now today, they've all got dates on them. And you throw them out when they reach the day, or the supermarkets do, but in days gone by, you trim the ends of the cucumbers. You'd refresh the wilting lettuce and things with a bit of water. Make it look good. Icy water does a tree on a lot of things. But they put these dates on there, expiry dates, but God's promises don't come with those. God doesn't say, well, this is good until, what is it today, the 25th of May. This is all right until next week. If you don't receive it by then you're too late. There's nothing like that with God. If he said it, he means it, he will do it. But we must make sure we're walking in love. Because that's our foundation. You know, that is where we're rooted and grounded. And everything else builds on top of that. And of course, you don't need me to tell you that God himself is love. He is love. And he's our rock. He's our strong tower. And in times of trouble, we can run to him. Our security. You know, we sang that earlier on. You know that? Our security, our strength. Jesus. What a beautiful name. You know, trust. You received something out of this weekend. It's been good to just gather. You know, share together. Encourage one another. Live large, live strong in times of trouble. Boy, these are times of trouble. You know, the world is going through some tough times. But you know, something Jesus said, It applies to you and it applies to me. Whilst we're in this world, we're not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yet we've got to keep the laws of the land, but there's a higher law that we need to adhere to. There's something higher, something better for us. That's what Hebrews says. You know, the new covenant, build on better promises. Just consider Abraham. A man who spoke with God. A man who God confided in. A man who was mightily blessed. A man who was very wealthy and very rich in all things. And God made promises to him. But the new covenant's better. We're beneficiaries of better promises, better covenants. You know, so let's give thanks to God. Let's go forward. Let's live large. Let's live strong. You know, and God will do for us what we read tonight, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. Because we've got a good foundation. Foundation of love. And on that we've built faith. We've built hope. And everything else. We've built on that foundation. The foundation of love. Jesus himself. Chief cornerstone. So be blessed. These are exciting times. Good times. For us. Amen. Thank you.